For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is the only opportunity we have tonight with each other. We don't get these.
It's time for 92.9 The Game's High School Scoreboard Show.
Join us along with high school sports guru Sam Crenshaw
and former high school football head coach Chris Parker.
Listen in as we get you up to date on everything you need to know in the world of high school football in Georgia.
From score updates to live reports from the week's top matchups, we bring Friday Night Lights to life.
Hey, let's get this thing popping, man!
92.9 The Game's High School Scoreboard Show is brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com.
The 92.9 The Game's High School Scoreboard Show is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Sam and Chris.
And a good Friday evening. A little cloudy outside, maybe a little moisture falling wherever you are, but you know what? We're going to suit up. We're going to lace them up. We're going to bundle up and go out for high school football on this Friday night. So glad you're with us. Welcome into the High School Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam Crenshaw, got Chris Parker in studio, got Dom Jarowski on the other side of the glass. We got all three of our crew out, plus Cub reporters and more tonight to cover the games. We got some great ones around the area tonight, Chris.
Man, it's going to be a good night, Sam. It's cool outside. It's not the summer anymore.
Oh.
You know, it's the fall. We got the whole team here. The whole team.
Yeah.
Everybody's ready. Big games. Some people, Sam, are playing their fifth game tonight. Some people are halfway home tonight.
That's amazing.
Man, it goes fast.
That is just amazing, man. We're here mid-September with five games in. And the school's having homecoming.
Yeah, homecomings, fall breaks coming up, things like that. So it's going to be – this is the time when you start really seeing the team separate. You're going to see that team that started out 2-0 or 3-0 or, you know, but maybe they're going the other way. Or that team that started out 2-0 is now going to be 4 or 5-0, and you're like, oh, maybe they are pretty good. You know, so you're starting to see some things. Most teams are going to be either in region play or really close, but you're going to see most of the teams in the state – playing in region play now, and that's a little different this year, Sam, because remember, we're down one class.
Yeah.
And the whole point of that was to have more region games, less travel, right?
Right.
More region games. So if the average region last year had maybe six teams in it, that means five region games. Now the average team may have eight teams in it, seven region games. So we're to the point where most of the games you're going to hear about tonight are region games. Not all of them,
right?
But a lot of them. And these are the ones that matter to decide who gets in the state playoffs. It doesn't matter if you played in November or if you played in September. They're all one game on them standings. So it's the games tonight are going to decide some positions in November.
Now, one of the big games in the area is a team that's definitely not a region game. Valdosta is in town. Valdosta is in Metro Atlanta tonight and playing a regular season game.
How about that?
Yeah.
They traveled up here. We go down there.
Back in the day, that was nonexistent.
That would have never happened.
Well, you had to be the North Georgia champion because back then the state was cut in half in all classes. You had a North Georgia champion.
And to my point, they probably played nine region games back then because they only had maybe three or four classes.
Right.
And so, yeah, you had a North Georgia champion, a South Georgia champion. They played for the state championship.
Right. That's the only time you could see them.
Yeah. So Clark Central
would
play Valdosta, you know, or LaGrange or somewhere like that. But now Valdosta up here in Gwinnett County. Taking on one of those teams, Sam, that started out kind of pretty good, and you think maybe South Gwinnett. This is a chance for Coach Lamar's South Gwinnett team to really make a statement. They've had a good team for years.
Yep.
They just play a tough schedule, so you see them 4-6, 5-5 or something at the end of the year because somebody, you know, half the teams have to lose.
Yep.
This is their chance to kick that door in, make a statement against Valdosta at their home. GPB's in the house. John Nelson will be there. Matt Stewart will be there.
Yeah.
This is their chance.
But meanwhile, Valdosta's, you know, they traveled for their spring game, if I remember correctly. I think they came to play a spring game at Dutchtown.
Oh, did they?
Who travels it far for?
Valdosta. That's the winningest program in America, Sam. We can look that up. You can fact check me on that.
They can kind of do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, they kind of do whatever. But I'll tell you, Dr. Coach Shelton Felton has done an awesome job with them. Remember, that is a program, all joking aside, that while it is the tradition-rich, most established program in the country, it also had hit a dip there and had some tough times with a couple of coaching changes. Coach Felton comes in as an interim in a tough situation, taking over Coach Probst, established a program, stabilized things, and now it's his program. He's been there a few years now as a head coach, and they really are playing really good football.
Yep, they are. They are being that, and we're going to see what they do when they play here in town tonight. So we're going to keep an eye on that game. Like I said, it's one that'll be on televised. When they're going to stream ought to be a pretty good one, too. They got Jefferson against North Oconee, and that's the other game the GPB is got on the web tonight. So that should be a good one, too.
Yeah, Jefferson's really looking good this year. They've got players everywhere. They're going to be a problem in the state playoffs.
Yep, we've got the teams, Evan Cobb. I think we got Campbell at home against McEachern. And Campbell is one of those teams that you kind of don't talk about. You look up and, whoa, these guys are having a really good season over there.
Yeah, Campbell's got a chance to have a nice season, to have a Sam Crenshaw-like article written about them coming up soon if they can get a couple more wins. They really are doing. They're one of those that the first time since whenever they start, you start making those kind of sentences, right? Yep. This is the time of year you start hearing that they're 4-1 for the first time since, or they're 3-2, or they're 5-0. You know, whatever it is, and Campbell's one of those candidates. Let me tell you another game, Sam. While we're throwing them out there, one local and one across the state. Milton, Blessed Trinity. Now, I think we all kind of agree until somebody beats them, Milton has to kind of be the state champ, right? I mean, they're the champ till somebody beats them. So they were the top class state champ last year. They're the second highest class now, but I still say they're the best team in the whole state of Georgia until somebody proves me otherwise. So they got to be the favorite. But they are playing Blessed Trinity. And this Blessed Trinity team is more like the Blessed Trinity teams of Coach McFarland. This is a good football team. So Milton will get tested right down the road from each other. That'll be a good game. Milton Blessed Trinity. How about Colquitt County, Lee County?
That'll be a good one,
Colquitt coming off a loss. They haven't had many losses in the regular season lately. Lee County undefeated. There'll be some hitting.
Big ball game down in South Georgia. Absolutely. As you mentioned Blessed Trinity, the athletic director, Ricky Turner, is going to join us at 8 o'clock. Of course, he is the new president of the GADA.
Yeah.
And so he's going to join
us at
8 o'clock.
He's going to be a little antsy, but we're going to get an update because they're going to be in about the second quarter.
Yeah.
When he's going to need to step
in. That's why I asked him tonight. I said, you still going to be, would you be able to join us? I said, you guys got something big kind of going on over at your place tonight. He says,
Can do it at 8, not 9. That might be too far into the game.
Jeff Fisher's going to join us as well with High School Football America. His top 300 list, which annually includes a great many teams from the state of Georgia, usually doesn't have many up in the top part of it. I think we got about three teams like in the top 25 of that thing.
Yeah, right, we Milton, of course, is one, but we're getting a little more love in that realm, Sam. I think the way the state of Georgia has been looked at, even in the last 5 years, is that there's a lot of depth, but maybe not the very best of teams. Okay. So we may have a lot of teams in the top 300, not that many in the top 20,
right?
Compared to maybe Texas or Florida or something. But I think if I see we'll ask Jeff, but based on what you're saying and what I'm seeing, you are seeing more of those Georgia teams in that top 20, 25, 30 of the nation than we usually see. And so I'm curious what makes them see that. And it's always good to talk to Jeff.
Always great.
A native Georgian now, but also a Texas guy.
Yep.
And a national high school covered guy. So really a great resource on those age-old questions of the differences between some of these states, right?
He gets a chance to check it out. He's kind of got a finger on the pulse of all of it. He's going to join us at 9 o'clock tonight. You want to be sure and be around and tuned for that. Last week we did something new and different. We had a Cub reporter. We had Selah Thomas out at Westlake, and she had a lot of fun, and people, I think, enjoyed hearing her enthusiasm and excitement about talking about a high school game at her school. We got a pair tonight. We hope to hear from Palmer Ruth from Westminster, and Westminster has a nice program for communication for people who don't know that type thing about high school. So that should be great. Good. And Owen Kennedy from Chattahoochee is going to join us. Chattahoochee has a matchup going up against Centennial tonight up on the north end of town. So
we got two Cubs.
We got two.
Last week we had one.
Cub. We got two
and
Cubs.
We got two.
Two Cubs.
All right. Now you said we're going to have one Jeff, but we're going to actually have two Jeffs.
Two Jeffs.
Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
And another Jeff.
Oh, another Jeff. That was school days.
Yeah.
School days. We got Jeff.
Now, it's not the NFL Jeff Fisher. You know. If y'all are this way. We love Jeff, but it's not the coach Jeff Fisher. This is just coincidental. But
Jeff Saturday.
It is that Jeff Saturday. That Jeff, the one that, that you've heard of. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is that guy. You know about that, Dom? We got Jeff Saturday. I mean, he didn't go to Stevenson, but we got him.
Yeah.
But
you know, I've heard his name before.
But you know what? He used to play for the coach that started the program at Stevenson.
And actually,
Coach Cottrell was at Shamrock.
Yeah, Shamrock. Right. Shamrock is the name of the school where Jeff plays, not in existence anymore.
No.
But this is the DeKalb County school that probably became what we know as Tucker. Well, Tucker was already there, but those kids would have gone to Tucker, Lakeside, and became Stevenson, those kind of places. So I guess indirectly, we got more Dom's people on the show.
We're taking over.
You know, it's going to be great to talk with Jeff. Of course, he accomplished great things playing at North Carolina and of course, in the National Football League, Super Bowl champion.
But we're not even going to talk about all
that. We can't ask him what Omaha means.
Well, we can do whatever. You the boss.
We're not going to ask him about
it. But, we're going to ask him about it. No, I bet nobody asked him about Shamrock High School. I bet there probably isn't 10 people listening right now that could have said that without looking it up, that he played at Shamrock High School. So I want to hear about that.
You know what I want to hear? I want to hear his reaction because last year he was in the group that we brought into the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame. And the thing that I enjoy about that evening, and it's coming up in October, the latest class, is the look on the faces of some guys who don't realize guys are from here, you know, and looking up and seeing him. And I think he's one of those people. You may not realize that he's from Georgia.
He was. And that goes back to not being as highly recruited. We can talk about that. He wasn't a Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson or Juju
Lewis-like
recruit. And we're so used to hearing those guys. And then they go off to the NFL and they come back and get in the Hall of Fame. You know, he was a guy that made a name for himself after he left Georgia.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of people looked at that list and said, oh, man, I didn't know he played in Georgia. Yeah. Shannon Sharp, Sterling Sharp are kind of like that, right?
Right.
I mean, they're guys that, you know, played in Georgia.
But they're guys, I never forget, the first group that goes in, and Matt Stinchcomb is there because he went to Parkview, and everybody knew the guys who went to Parkview. But
they had a lot of Stinchcombs. They were all pretty good.
All really good. Really, really good. And so, but he said the thing that he got a thrill about being at the High School Hall of Fame was seeing Richard Dent. He didn't realize Richard Dent was from here.
Yeah.
And
he's another one.
Right.
He made a name for himself more after he left here, but he's from here.
Dent. And so when he walked in there and Richard Dent was in there, he said, that did it. I said, man, that did it for me.
Yeah.
Richard Dent, I watched this guy, looked up to him, and here he is.
You know who did it for me? Pat Swilling.
Okay.
So I'm from the Gulf Coast.
Right, that's right.
So the Saints in the 80s, that's the deal, right? The Saints have been horrible for 40 years at that point, but they finally had a decent defense. You know, they got Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling, Sam Mills. And, Pat Swilling, I did not know until we started that process, is from Stevens County.
So
Pat Swilling's a Georgia guy too. So I sat with Pat last year. It was a big deal to me. Same thing. You saw Pat's. I was like, hey, okay. Richard Dent. Yeah, these are guys that, I mean, I was a kid.
Right.
Were it, you know. And so, they're from Georgia.
Right. And so Jeff Saturday kind of falls into that for people who may not know that he's from Georgia and a product of Metro Atlanta and DeKalb County. We look forward to having to spend some time with him tonight as our school day's guest. We have a great night of high school football. We're going to be keeping up with people reporting from throughout our region, throughout our area. Hope you're going to be with us. If you're headed out to a game, let's see, we're a little over 15 minutes away from kickoff. The games will be starting at 7:30 tonight, and we'll look forward to having our updates. We're going to get some previews of the games that are coming up.
We got all our guys out.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, we got Day-Day Lewis out. We got Eric Slaughter out. Yep. We got Garrett Chapman out.
Yeah, we do.
We got people on Twitter atting me saying we need to get at the Sequoia game.
Wow.
No, I'm saying, they want us there.
Okay.
So I'm saying, people are clamoring.
All right.
For some reports. You know, this is when you know it really is getting serious, Sam. And, you know, all the joking aside, we are in week five, and NFL started, and college is into the season. Like, this is a football season. I know high school kind of kicks it off.
Yep.
But now we really are at that time in the year where everybody's ready to go. It's a little cooler.
And this week the weather changed, and it feels like it.
Man, it does.
It does. It feels like football. Folks, it's the Scoreboard Show. High School Scoreboard Show. We're just getting started. We're going to walk you up to kickoff when you return with us here on this Friday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9 The Game.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
.com.
More of the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Friday night. You listen to the High School Scoreboard Show. Sam Crenshaw, Chris Parker, nine floors up in our Midtown Atlanta studios on this Friday night. So glad you're with us. And, all right, we got to get people set for some games. We got some really good ball games. And I tell you, Day-Day was busy this week. And he had a chance to talk with the coach of one of the big games, the two coaches, one of the big games in the area, that being Buford at Douglas County. You expecting a great game out there tonight?
Maybe as many good football players on a field as you may see this year, and I hate to be with hyperbole, but maybe that we've seen. I mean, there is more 3-, 4-, 5-star players on the field than you're going to normally see. Let's just put it that way. I mean, loaded.
Yeah.
Both teams loaded with football players.
Well, Day-Day had a chance to spend some time with both coaches, Coach Johnny White and Coach Brant Appling.
What are Coach App's three keys to a successful night on Friday night?
Definitely, like I just said, just controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides. They're big up front, ball, and we've got a good front seven on defense and a good front five on offense. So that's going to be a key matchup. That's one thing. Taking care of the ball and creating turnovers is always a big deal. We found a way to get the ball away from Roswell four times, I believe it was, and had the ball on the ground for another opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, that's going to be a big thing in a big game. I think it's going to be a little wet because weather coming in and stuff like that. So holding on to it and securing it and also being able to pass when we need to and taking care of it that way. And last, I think special teams. Our special teams have been huge for us in big games. Over the last however many years, really 20 since I've been here in Buford. Mm-hmm. And those kids are working hard. They're not all the, big time names you see out there, but it's good, players, whether they're sophomores or juniors or even seniors out there that don't play as many snaps as they would like to, but they find a way to affect the game. And that's going to be a huge situation on any time our special team touches the field. So winning that battle between all six special teams is going to be key.
What are going to be Coach White's three keys to a successful day on Friday night?
Protect our quarterback. Stop their big plays because they got some big plays in them with their running backs and their receivers. And win the special teams match up. If we can do those three things, then I think we have a chance against anybody.
All right, there you get it from Coach White and Coach Appling getting set for a big showdown tonight. You always talk about, Chris, about how, coaches are better coaches when you got great talent.
Yeah, let me tell you something now. Buford, for 25 years, Buford's been a team most people didn't want. And you'd say, well, we got a chance if – well, look, Coach White has maybe three of the best four receivers in the entire state of Georgia and two maybe in the United States. Yeah, they got a chance. They got a chance, okay? Even against Buford, they got a chance. And I'm excited for him that he's got them. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. – It is the night they're going to need them. Those big-time guys got to step up in these kind of games.
All right. We got more from Day-Day on the way, but first of all, let's check in now. Westminster, they're playing Gilmer tonight, a big game. Got our first report from our cover reporter tonight. Palmer Ruth is joining us from over at Westminster. Palmer, welcome to the Scoreboard Show. What do you guys have going on over there tonight?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Going to be a really exciting game. Big one for the Cats. It's their pigskin picnic and then taking on Gilmer, you know, a triple option offense, you know, one that you don't really see all too often in the modern game of football. The Cats seem to be prepared here. It's going to be a really exciting ball game tonight.
Yeah, should be an exciting one. I'll tell you this, man. You may not know much about that triple option, but your coach does. Okay? You got the coach that knows how to defend that. It's going to be an exciting game. Coach Stanner, Coach Romberg, two of the best, getting to go at it one more time.
Yeah, I mean, Romberg and Standard really have matched up a ton. Getting to talk to Coach Standard, he really respects Romberg, says they've been talking a ton. And even said that Romberg called this one of his best teams ever, Westminster, and both coaches really expect it to be a great matchup here.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, thanks for getting with the preview. Look forward for your update at halftime. Thanks so much. Get things kicked off. Have a great night.
Of course. Thank you so much.
All right. That's one of our Cub reporters over there, Palmer Ruth over at Westminster.
He was established. That did not sound like a Cub.
No, it didn't.
We may not need to have him on too many more times. He's probably better than me, Dom.
He's doing okay. Good. Guy's going to be dropping his resume over here. Back to Data. He has another update for us. Getting us set for the game that he will be covering tonight, and that's, of course, between Calhoun and Cambridge.
That's going to be a good one.
Should be a good one.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the High School Scoreboard Show with Sam Crenshaw and Coach Chris Parker. Damian Dede Lewis hanging out here at Cambridge. Man, we got about 27 minutes or so before kickoff here with head coach for Cambridge, Tyler Jones. Coach, first off, congratulations to the start of the season for you guys. A lot of momentum behind you tonight. What do you need to see out of your guys as you guys get this one kicked off, facing off against a Calhoun team coming in hungry and looking to still find their stride?
Yeah, for sure. We got to play a much cleaner game this week. Last week against Denmark, we executed in a lot of ways, but we just couldn't find a way to finish some drives offensively and defensively. So we just want to kind of finish those drives and just play our brand of football. Again, got sloppy at the end, and we can't afford that tonight. Calhoun's a really good football team, so we're going to have to execute.
Awesome. Well, Coach, good luck tonight, and thanks for a couple of minutes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Sam, Chris, back to you guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Day-Day. And you talked about how the coach has done a great job there at Cambridge, stepping into that position, and he's really carried that program forward.
Yeah, listen, I mean, 4 or 5 weeks in, I'm as impressed with this guy as anybody, okay? They had a good team coming back. I mean, I'm not surprised they've got a good team. But they have really taken on some good football teams and whipped them. And last week had their closest game with Denmark, but still found a way to win. Another tough test tonight, Calhoun. Calhoun a little smaller school than them, but, I mean, Calhoun is a tradition-rich school. Like that, it's going to be a tough one, but – you know, our last time they played a tough one, I said, it'd be Cambridge kind of, I'm believing.
Yeah.
I'm believing. Yeah. So we're going to see if I jinxed them, but I'm believing. And they got a chance to have a really nice season.
This is a rare appearance by Calhoun in Metro Atlanta. We don't really get to see them come down to the city that much.
Yeah, you don't see them as much there.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been playing in that Cartersville. They might play Rome or they might play Dalton or, you know, they'll stay over there, even their out-of-region games. But, yeah, seeing them in Metro is kind of nice. And. Yeah. Cambridge is a good opponent for them. That's going to be a good game. I'm glad Day-Day's going to be there. Something great's going to happen right when Day-Day calls.
All right. Really, while he's on the line, literally, things will break loose and happen. All right, Garrett Chatman is at a great one. He's going way out at 20. He's out there at Carrollton.
The game of the week, maybe.
Yeah, I'm serious.
He's Carrollton, Gainesville. Man.
I think he's got a preview for us. And who did he find out there? Let's listen.
Maybe somebody you heard of.
Let's listen and find out.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game here at Carrollton High School and joined by head coach of the USC Trojans, Lincoln Riley, here to watch his future quarterback and a future linebacker. Lots of talent here on this field. But you coach all the way on the West Coast. Why come to Georgia to come find some of these talented players?
I've always had a deep respect for this state, the coaching, the talent. I think there's a lot of great players here. We've got a lot of staff connections out this way. And, you know, unfortunately, I've had a lot of guys here in state that have had a chance to come out to Southern California and see it and like what we're about and like where our program's headed. So it's just been a good fit all around.
And in the current state of USC athletics, you guys just made that move over to the Big Ten, big win out in Las Vegas. How has everything been with that transition and you guys moving over?
Yeah, it's going well. The guys are handling it well. It's been fun to see, you know, just this program coming back to where we believe it's supposed to be. And it's an incredible place to do it. There's nothing else like it in college athletics. And just kind of being along for the ride at a place like that is pretty special.
And then the strength of Georgia recruiting, I mean, it's all over the field. You have quarterbacks, you have trench players, skill players, everything. What do you see in this class specifically that really drew you to Georgia?
There's not much weak weaknesses in the class. Like you said, there's skill, there's bigs, they're talented, they're well coached, they're tough, they're hard nosed. I mean, a lot of the things that we aspire to be as a program and we value, you know, you find in this state. So yeah, it's always been one of my favorite places to recruit.
Awesome, coach. Right. Thank you so much. Buddy. I really appreciate it. Best of luck. Be safe getting home. Thanks. Good luck next week too. For the High School Scoreboard Show, this is Garrett Chapman, just joined by the head coach of the USC Trojans, Lincoln Riley, here. He knows, he understands that Georgia high school recruiting is where it's at. He's got three different commits who are going to be on the field today. It's Carrollton and it is Gainesville. Two heavyweight Georgia high school football teams. More action to come here from Carrollton. Garrett Chapman for the High School Scoreboard Show. Sam and Chris, back to you.
Yo.
Yeah.
Lincoln thing. Riley in the house.
Lincoln Riley, folks. There you have it.
Is Los Angeles a long way from
That's
here?
That's a long way. That's a long and flight. I think you watch two movies.
And I know, you know, this station, we cover everybody. So we cover college football, high school football, professional football. USC has been awesome.
Yep.
I mean, they really had a great start to the year. This man could be anywhere tonight. He's in Carrollton, Georgia.
Yep.
Right? And Garrett found him.
Yep.
And I need Dom or somebody to find that part where he said how good Georgia was so we can play it for, like, California folks. You know what I'm saying?
We need to play, like, it on college football.
I mean, now we got that capability. We can at some people, Dom. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can at them on Twitter or whatever. You know, like, at Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
You know, here you go. High School Football America.
Yeah.
Where's the USC coach? He wasn't at Long Beach Poly or De La Salle.
No.
He was in Carrollton.
That's in Carrollton, Georgia. Man.
How about that, Garrett? That's why you got Garrett Chapman in the house.
Yeah, we do.
Coming through for us. Good job, Garrett.
Outstanding work, Garrett, as always.
But you don't know who you're going to hear from.
You really don't.
And that is a great matchup, guys. I mean, obviously, we're excited. We got that kind of exposure for our kids and our teams. But, I mean, that is probably one of the best matchups in the country. Douglas County and Buford and Carrollton and Gainesville may be two of the best matchups in the country this week.
Yep, and they're right here in the state of Georgia. Games are going down tonight, games that we're going to be keeping up with for you here tonight on the High School Scoreboard Show. That was big. You got the coach of Southern Cal, my goodness, all over in our area checking out high school football, folks. So that's talks about what's happening. Some games are just getting kicked off. It is 7:31, 7:32. So games are officially underway. We're going to be keeping up and seeing who breaks through first, give you some early scores from games that took place. Had some games from last night, too. Had a few games last night, didn't we? We had some.
Oh, yeah. We had some games, Sam. We're going to play on Thursday now. And why do we play on Thursday? Why do we play on Thursday?
We play on Thursday because we need some more officials.
We play on Thursday there could be two reasons. I mean, yes, mainly because we need officials, and that was where I was going with that. But I guess I should throw the caveat of some people share stadiums, so there is a couple games that would always be. But a lot of these games are because of that. And so, yeah, last night Callaway beat Columbia 22-16. That's a big win for Callaway. Got a young team. They're going to be good in the playoffs, but they're playing a really tough non-region in DeKalb, where we're going to talk to DeKalb County Legends.
Yep.
We had some games last night, Arabia Mountain and Lakeside. Lakeside won 51-50.
Good heaven.
That's not a basketball game, guys.
Oh, man.
51-50 in regulation.
That's a lot of score.
Tucker beat Clarkston 49-0, and Miller Grove beat Stone Mountain 50-14.
Man. So some of the games that were going on last night, we did get some Thursday night games, and there were some games that played on Monday night. There were a couple of Monday night games.
I know one was the Flyer Branch and Hart County that they made up from the issues
Friday.
From last week.
Yeah. Right.
Northwest Whitfield beat Southeast Whitfield 43-7 last night in North Georgia, and Gordon Lee beat Armurchie 42-0.
All right. So
how about Mount Perrin? Let me talk real quick about Mount Perrin.
Yeah.
My good friend Matt Ely is the head coach at Mount Perrin. I hired him out of college to come coach with me.
Okay.
I molded him, Sam.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Molded him up
and then sent him out into the world. and he's the head coach at Mount Perrin now. He's doing an awesome job. They won last night 42-14 over Cherokee Christian. Really proud of Coach Ely and that Mount Perrin team. So awesome job, guys.
I always keep an eye on the folks down Augusta way, and Thompson was doing what Thompson does big time on Swainsboro, 56-7.
The score surprised you, though? Because Swainsboro, you know,
he's usually pretty good.
I mean, smaller school, right?
Right.
But still, it's 56-7. Them Swainsboro folks not going to be all happy about that score.
Not like that at all, man. Lincoln County was a winner there over Elbert County. This sounds like a good ball game, 31-28. Lincoln County got the win in that.
That's an old-timey game.
Yeah.
You know, like back in the day, Elbert and Lincoln had some battles.
Yeah, down the road from each other. Big time. All right, folks, we got the games that are underway. When we come back now, we're going to check in with IJ Rosenberg, Score Atlanta. They have a big game coming up tonight, and their game will kick off at 8 o'clock. but also the coach's checklist is coming up. That is straight ahead. It's Friday night. You listen to the Scoreboard Show. High School Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
High School's Football Scoreboard Show.
Friday night, Under the Lights. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Which band that is, but obviously a tribute to Frankie Beverly tonight. You'll hear a lot of that around the stand on this Friday night. Absolutely, after him passing away this week. Folks, welcome back into the Scoreboard Show. Sam Crenshaw and Chris Parker. We do have an early score. We got any early scores? We got a couple of scores that have come in already. I know I saw one.
I've seen some 0-0s, Sam, but I hadn't.
I got Thomas County Central up on Bainbridge, 7-0.
I got a late game. I guess started earlier was North Cobb Christian 31, Ringgold 28 in the third quarter. So they started a little earlier.
Okay. George Walton up 7-0 on Lakeview. These are first quarter scores. Keep an eye on scores. But as always, at this time, we take a look and check out the coach's checklist.
Time now for Coach Parker's Coach's Checklist.
As Coach and Chris Parker give their analysis of this week's biggest stories, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Get any sized air conditioner for only $69.99 per month. Visit ReliableAir.com.
All right, this week, Sam, we're going to talk about should you go for it. Okay, so what I've seen this year,
man.
And my beloved Dragons lost the game this way to Gilmer, 35-34, they go for it. They go for the win in overtime. I saw several teams last week win or lose a game at the end of the game where they decide to go for the win. They could have tied it. But I'm also talking about going for it on fourth down. You can kind of combine both of those. When should you go for it? There's no automatic way. That analytic stuff is nice, but it's not absolute. You know, you have a higher percentage in some chances than others. But you got to mix that with a gut feeling and some good sound logic. And so what's the coach logic behind when you go for it, when you don't?
Okay.
So what do you think about like an overtime? You know, an overtime, it's really about do we want to keep playing? And you wouldn't really say this to people out loud, but maybe if you're on the road, or maybe if you're playing a lot of guys both ways and they're not, or maybe if you're just really exhausted and you've just had to come back, like my Dragons had to do that time. They were behind. They rallied to come back to tie it, send it to overtime. Both teams score, and you're like, look, we need to win. We need to go home, you know, and we're going to trust our guys. We're 3 yards away. We're going for the win. If you think you have the better team, sometimes if you're at home, sometimes if you got the better kicker, you may feel like, you know, let's tie this thing and keep playing, right? But that's what you're thinking then. Now, what about on fourth down? Because a lot of time, you know, everybody in the bleachers wants to go for it on fourth down.
Right.
You ever notice that, Dom? Everybody wants to go for it on fourth down until they see the result. And then they're like, why in the hell did they go for it on fourth down? You know, like,
right.
I mean, so, yeah, if we knew what was going to happen, then it'd be a pretty easy decision. But so what are people thinking when you're saying, should we go for it on fourth down? So in high school especially, these are the things that come to mind real quick. Do you have a play? And I know that's number one. Number one has to be, like, do we have a play we think we'll get the first down? Because if you don't have that, all that other stuff doesn't matter. If you're 95% chance of getting it, doesn't matter if you don't have a good play.
Right.
So do we have a play we like in this situation? Maybe we're on the left hash. Maybe we really like this play. You know, do you have a play? Of course, what's the distance? That's an easy one. Meaning fourth and one's easier to go for than fourth and six and all that. What yard line are you on? That's another simple thing. Now in high school, when you get close to the 50, it probably becomes a serious option to go for it fourth and, say, medium, if that makes sense. So if you're on the minus 40, if you know what that means, Sam, the other side of the field,
right. Maybe
fourth and one is worth rallying for and trying. You get to the 50, now fourth and three, four, five are probably reasonable. And you get to that plus 40, And fourth and seven and under is probably worth going for it. You know, and that's usually a normal rule if you got a play. So there's that caveat of number one, do you have a play that you like? And then, of course, you got to keep into how good is the defense? You know, is this – because if you're going to – and I told this story, I think, on here before, but we played Nick Chubb in high school, and we won the game.
Okay.
Okay? But let me tell you how the game went real quick, Sam. We got the ball. We drove like halfway down the field. We got to like the 50. I don't remember, but it was probably something like fourth and three, fourth and four, and we punted.
Okay.
Now, this is 15 years ago, right, or however long, but we punted, and we pinned them deep. Like, we pinned them on like the 3-yard line. I'm feeling pretty good. Chest bumping. Yeah. Punter's all excited. Nick Chubb took that thing 97 yards.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know what I learned?
What?
7 points, whether he goes 97 or 50. So next time, we weren't punting. We didn't punt again.
Oh, no.
We won 54 to, like, 48 or something. Like,
okay.
We didn't punt again. I didn't care. Fourth and 11, we're going for it. Because it didn't matter. We couldn't really stop the guy.
Right.
The only reason we stopped him was he got tired from running so much. I mean, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. I never seen anything like it at the time. But in all joking aside, that was a factor in that game. Right. I mean, if I knew we weren't really going to stop them, then what does it matter if they get it on the 50? It's worth us trying to get the first down. Like, have some toughness, believe in your team, try to get the first down. And that particular game, we converted four or five big-time fourth downs that I probably would have punted most games, honestly. But we just converted them, so we won the game. And you had to know who you were playing against. Well, if you're playing somebody that's not very good on offense, you're playing the Atlanta Falcons from Sunday, you punt it. You know, don't give them the short field because make them go the whole field. They probably can't do it. So every game's a little different there. The last thing I talk about is like, what's going on with your kicking game? So do you have a good punter? Do you have a good kicker? Because if you don't have those things, what are you doing? Go for it. You know, I mean, if you're going to punt it 6 yards, which we see in high school a lot, you don't see it in college NFL, but in high school, you'll see a team go out there and shank it a 7-8 yard punt. Well, you might as well have gone for try to get the first down. I mean, so, and then the last thing is what's the score? Because if you're down 9, 10, or 11 points, it's worth it to kick a field goal if you can sometimes, if you know you make the field. Because what that does at 9, 10, or 11 points, that brings the score down to 6, 7, or 8 points, right? Which makes it a one-score game. So if you're at 9, 10, or 11 points behind,
you
may want to throw all those rules out and just kick a field goal if you can make it so you can get it to a one-score game if you're in fourth down. But everything else there, those are all the things that run through your head, and you got at least, what about 11 seconds for all that to run through your head.
And then
you decide, and then all the geniuses that knew what they should have done all along tell you if you were right or wrong based on the result of the play. They get to see it and then decide.
Trending right now. It seems like the trend is you're seeing more people go for it on fourth
absolutely.
Down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why is that?
Well, the scoring's higher. Offense are better. The scoring's higher. Meaning, back when you started really first covering games, they were 14-7.
Yeah.
They're going to Sam Crenshaw at 11 at night, and you're telling them how this team beat that one 14-7. We don't do that a lot.
Nope.
So when it was 14-7, each possession was so valuable, right?
Right.
Now it's just not as much. It's worth the risk of keeping the football and trying to score. That gamble is worth more than it is giving it up. And if you're down 3 points, like if we were down 3 points to Nick Chubb and I punted, we're about to be down 10. So I needed to at least try to get the first down. And if I didn't get it, we'd still be down 10, but at least we tried.
Right.
And in that case, it worked. We kept trying and it kept working. And so it helped us win the game. Because giving them the ball back, you can go down 2 scores real quick. And that changes how you have to call, right? So it just, people have just, and this actually probably always been true, that analytics side of it. But people just hadn't really had the courage to do that. And now everybody does. But when you get close to the 50, you're going to see people going for it. Yeah, that's actually true in high school, college, and the NFL.
All right. More on this, Parker Resources?
Yeah, parkerresources.org, or follow us on social media at Parker Resources and try to put out as many of those kind of little nuggets as we can. So just have fun doing it. So
there we go. There we go. Talk about having fun. This guy's having fun. He's got a great football game that's kicking off in about 11 minutes here. I.J. Rosenberg joining us now from Score Atlanta. Good evening, I.J. How you doing? Hope you're staying dry.
Coach, Sam, hope you guys are doing well. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, big one tonight. I mean, you know, it's definitely the biggest game in the state. Maybe the biggest game actually in the country.
That's what I said.
You've got, you're not going to get much better than Buford traveling over to Douglas County. I mean, two really good football teams. Buford, of course, lost to Milton, who might be in the top 10 as far as teams in the country, 13-10. Douglas undefeated, played at Corky Cal, pretty much wiped the slate with Cedar Grove. But both teams, very, very good. In fact, we had Johnny White, the head coach of Douglas, on the phone today. Well, actually on Zoom today on our TV show. And said a lot of interesting things about his team. Very excited. Just there's probably not a game in the country in any week that's going to have as many good prospects as you have tonight. You probably have close to, I would probably say, 30 to 32 kids that will get major college offers on both of these teams. I mean, you look at Buford already, they probably have 10, 11 that have, Power 5 or Power 4.
Yeah, you hear that, Sam? He said 30, yeah. I think. 30.
Wow.
30. Yeah, it's amazing.
No, I mean, they're everywhere. Players everywhere.
You got kids sitting on the bench, okay, that have major college offers, so, and a lot of them. But it should be a good one. I picked Douglas County. I think, to me, what has to happen to a non-traditional power like a Douglas County, Buford obviously is a traditional power, is you have to make the playoffs, okay? You have to sort of get deep into the playoffs before it's time to win a state championship. And they did that last year. In fact, should have beaten Woodward in the semifinals. Of course, Douglas County moving up a classification. They're now in the top classification. I like the team a lot. I also like Buford. I think it's going to be a very physical game. Both teams are very good up front, both offensively and defensively. A lot of skill players and a ton of media here for this. I mean, like I said, you've got a lot of recruiting writers, but you just have a lot of sports media in general that are just coming to, to see this game.
Yep, folks spending time with I.J. Rosenberg, Score Atlanta. I.J., I want to talk to you a little bit because we're going to have Jeff Saturday on in the next hour. Last year was inducted into the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame. You added some members to the board this week, right?
Yeah, we did. Mackle Harris and Lucius Sanford from Georgia Tech both have come onto the board. We're very excited about having both of them. I met with them, had a couple lunches with them over the last 6 months, and it's time to include some of these, players that both went in last year, both, of course, Lucius at West Fulton and then Mackle at Americus, both great high school players and both great players for Georgia Tech. I mean, both All-Americans. But we're real excited about having both of them on the board. The next step will be to get two Georgia guys. We got to even it out a little bit. But excited about that. Also excited about the new executive director, Tim Scott, who's joining the board. And Dr. Robin Hines, the previous executive director, will stay on the board. He'll also continue to consult for the GHSA, which I think is a smart move because, with everything guys happening in sports with NIL, and of course, you've almost got this transfer portal down at high school now. You need as many people that can think between their ears, and I think Robin will continue to help the GHSA, move forward. I think he's done a really good job, especially pulling everybody through COVID the way he did in 2020. Very excited about the upcoming induction ceremony. We've got 30 players going in. In fact, last night I was talking to Brian Lamar of South Gwinnett. We invite teams every year, about four or five teams to come, and South Gwinnett's football team will be there. And, of course, they'll be there to celebrate a pretty good player named David Green. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Look forward to also seeing you guys in your blue jacket.
Yeah, I'm excited for the whole event, and I just want to thank you, IJ, for putting all that together because you got people like Jeff Saturday and Richard Dent and Sterling Sharp that people didn't even know played in Georgia. And yep. We're getting Jeff Saturday on the I didn't even know they played high school football in Georgia. And it's bringing that to light. It's fantastic.
Well, please tell Jeff I said hello. He was a fabulous player in high school. Went to, sort of was a no-name in a way. I mean, he played at Shamrock. And, of course, you know, that wasn't one of your traditional football. I mean, we were a Lakeside, which wasn't far from Shamrock. But Jeff was a heck of a player in college and then had a great career in high school, in the NFL. What's interesting about Jeff Saturday, you'll have to ask him about this, is that he went from a small head coaching, a small private school in Georgia, to the head coach with the Indianapolis Colts.
That's true, he did.
That has never happened before, and probably the coach will never happen again.
He didn't have to talk to anybody's mama. The Colts. No, that was the difference. I talked to anybody's mom.
Not at all. I tell you guys, I did want to bring up one thing, and I think this is important, you know, to just discuss for a few minutes, and that is, you know, we've unfortunately seen, you know, some players, you know, some high school players that have died. You know, we saw the quarterback in Bremen, you know, what happened to him. He's, you know, going through, you know, a tough time to see, you know, what, you know, part of his body he's still going to be able to use below the neck. But, you know, guys, if you got a chance to watch the Dolphins last night, and of course, I'm a big Alabama guy, so I'm a big Tua fan, but okay, you know, this sport is, it's a tough sport. And, you know, when you see things like that, you know, you really have to wonder, especially a player like Tua that, you know, has had, I think this is his third, concussion that everybody knows about.
Right.
But, you know, I think that's one thing. I'd like to hear what Coach has to say about this. But, you know, we need to continue to try to make the sport safer. And, you know, I know they've come up with these padded helmets on the outside. The NFL is now allowing their players to use them. But I think, you know, the NFL and college football, and especially at the high school level, but it's got to be led by the NFL because they're the ones that have the money to do the, you know, the research and development. But I think it's really important, gentlemen, that, you know, that everybody continues to try to make this a safer sport.
Yeah, I think every time, I think you couldn't be more spot on, IJ. There's so many great things about the game of football. That's why we're all in here. But there is a reality that is there. And it has to be addressed. And every time you get a targeting call at the Alabama game and me and IJ are mad because there's a targeting call, you just have to remember that they're putting rules in place for that really have helped.
Yeah.
And they haven't fixed everything, but they really have helped. And they've got to continue to do that. In a case like Tua, we know now that the repeated versions of that are really bad down the road. So, yeah, it may be it for him because we know we have this data now, but Troy Aikman is doing better now, you know, and because he quit at that time. And so you're going to have to use that, IJ. And back in the day, we were told you sucked it up, right? Like you were told that when you played. You went out there and keep going, and you just can't do that.
Right, and I think the other thing is instruction's important, and I think that has to start at the younger level. Mm-hmm. That, you know, 'cause these kids are starting so early now, and you know, and teaching them to keep their heads up and not lower their heads. We saw it in the Alabama game last week with the big linebacker from Alabama. I don't think there was any doubt that he knew that it was a mistake, and you know, he led with his helmet. But I just think that, you know, all of us, you know, the three of us that are so involved in high school sports, not just football, because concussions happen in all the sports.
Cheerleading and soccer.
But at the same time.
Yeah, soccer, yeah, big time.
I think it's important. I think it's really important at the high school and youth level to start to see more money, more attention placed. And there has been a lot more than when we played, of course.
Yeah.
You know, the equipment's gotten better. But people have to realize that the brain moves, okay? So it's really not a way to totally protect it. It's just, you know, it's not going to happen. My wife's an occupational therapist, and she, you know, when I was watching my son play quarterback both in high school and college, I mean, it's dangerous, and, you know, you just have to keep your fingers crossed. But I do think that, you know, and we're sort of getting off subject a little bit. The other game I wanted to talk about tonight real quick just to see, you know, what you guys thought was Jefferson going over to North Oconee. That's going to be I don't know if there's a score. I haven't looked yet on that game, but that's a heck of a football game right there.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the score yet.
Atlanta's the only team. We're the only rank carrying right now that has North Oconee number one. Is there any score in the game?
North Oconee's up 21-0 early. A minute 38 left in the first quarter. North Oconee 21, Jefferson 0.
Boy, that's a surprise.
I'll tell you what, they're a good football team, and that's a tough place to play. And I'm going to tell you, Jefferson's a good football team.
Yeah.
So that's certainly a surprise because, you know, like I said, game just started about 25 minutes ago. But should be an interesting night. I'm going with Douglas County. I said that on TV today. I just think it's I think it's the right moment for Douglas to beat Buford. I think Buford's good. I don't know if they're as good as some of their previous state championship years. But, you know, I like Douglas tonight. I think it's a great place to play. And I think it's going to be a great game for everybody to watch.
Those Douglas County receivers are good. And don't forget,
watch it on Peachtree Sports Network. You can find Peachtree Sports Network on any of the cable systems, Xfinity, Spectrum. You can also watch it still over the air on channel 17.2. And you can also pick it up on the Atlanta News First app. That's an easy way to pick it. Zeem, which is the CBS streaming portal, and the National Federation High School Network. So everywhere you turn, you can watch the game tonight.
Fantastic. IJ Rosenberg, as always, great catching up with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, look forward to it. You guys have a great evening.
All right.
Thanks, IJ.
That is IJ with the game, and that game is just getting kicked off. And it's weird, not the top of the hour. We come back with some more scores. Valdosta's already up 14-0 on South Gwinnett, and that game's still in the first quarter. Come back now. We got some guests coming up for you. We're going to hear from the president of the Georgia Athletic Directors Association and our school day's guest, Jeff Saturday. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. You stay with us here on the Scoreboard Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.